Going to turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, book of Revelation, chapter 1. We'd like to read verses 9 through verse 18. Revelation 1, verses 9 through verse 18. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle or island that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. What thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as a sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. His countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell down at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. In verse 9, John describes the circumstances surrounding him. You will notice that he mentions tribulation in verse 9, which of course speaks of some kind of trouble, some kind of difficulty, some kind of hardship and affliction. And he gets a little bit more specific, stating that he was in the isle or the island that is called Patmos. Patmos was an isolated place. Patmos was a very lonely place. It was a place where the Romans put the very worst of criminals. It was basically a place of no escape. It was a place of punishment. John was there because he was being punished by the Roman government. It was a place, of course, of hardship. It was a place of gloom. It was not a happy place. By this time, John, of course, had to be close to 90 years old, and he's now been banished. He's now been exiled to this island called Patmos to spend the remaining of his days. His crime was the fact that he preached the word of God. We see that he was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God. That is, because he preached the word of God, because he held to what the word of God taught. He had been banished to this island, and also and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, because he bore witness. Because he bore witness of Jesus Christ. So there is John on this island. He's been banished. He's been separated from those that he loves. He's a victim of oppression. He is a victim of persecution. He's thrown into an island in the middle of nowhere. And he really speaks of this almost incidentally, as if it were no real big deal. And there's a lesson there about how we are to view our circumstances, how we're to view the situations of life. Life's not about our circumstances. Life's not about our situations. And John doesn't dwell upon the fact that he was on this island called Patmos. He just mentions it there in verse 9 in passing. John, again, this is the Apostle John. He had experienced the salvation that is in Jesus Christ. He had spent personal time with Jesus Christ. He was a man who had personal contact with Jesus Christ. He was a man who had witnessed personally Christ's miracles. He witnessed his miracles of healing. He witnessed many of the miracles of Christ. He was a man who had personally heard of the teachings of Jesus Christ. We learn from the book of John, he was a man who actually leaned upon the bosom of Jesus Christ. And he referred to himself all through the book of John as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was a man who personally experienced the love of Jesus Christ. We see he was one of the few who stood there at the cross and watched and witnessed Jesus Christ being crucified. And he personally heard the women report from the tomb of Christ, "He is risen." And not only that, but he had personally seen a risen Christ. And now this man John is on the island of Patmos, treated as a criminal because he gave testimony of Jesus Christ. And the Romans viewed such a testimony as false ideology. That's how they viewed it. But John's testimony of Jesus Christ was more than ideology. It was more than a concept. His testimony of Jesus Christ was more than just a notion that he had. It was more than just a thought that had passed through his mind. His testimony of Jesus Christ was more than a philosophy. It was more than some theory that John held to. And it was more than just a personal opinion of John. John's testimony of Jesus Christ was more than a doctrine, more than a creed, more than just something that made him feel good. It was more than just a persuasion that John had. John's testimony of Jesus Christ, for which he was banished, was a personal reality to John. It was real. You know, today many look at God's people, many in the world, and they do not, and they view what we believe concerning Christ as false ideology. They view it as a false philosophy. But I want to speak this morning on the fact that he is more than ideology. He is much more than ideology. I hope that's true of you and I today. It certainly was true of this man, John. First of all, we want to consider what John experienced on this island. He wrote in verses 10 and 11 that he heard behind him a great voice as of a trumpet. In other words, this was not a whisper. It was a great voice. It was a booming voice as of a trumpet. And he could hear very distinctly what that voice said, saying, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last." Having heard that voice, he turned to see. And when he did, we read he saw one like as the Son of Man. He saw Jesus Christ. But he did not appear the same way that John remembered him. He looks different. But when John turned to see, there he was. Jesus Christ. The one who had saved his soul. When he turned to see, there he was. The one who loved him. The one upon whose bosom he had leaned. John turned to see, and there he was. The one who had laid down his life upon the cross. There he was. The one who had risen from death and the grave. And John begins to describe him in verses 13 through verse 16. And then beginning with verse 17, John records that what he saw had an immediate impact upon him. He heard a booming voice. He turned to see, and there was Christ, the one he knew so well. There he was. And in verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. What follows next is what John experienced at the feet of Jesus. So there is John at the feet of Christ. And then we read, and he, Jesus, laid. That's very gently. When you lay something upon a table, you don't throw it. You lay it. It implies gently, carefully. But also, if you lay something on a table, you do so with intent. And when we read that Jesus laid his right hand upon me, I believe he did so very gently. And he did so for a purpose. He did so with intent. And John must have thought, I felt that hand before. John must have thought, I've seen that hand before. So there's Jesus. His hand is upon John. And he speaks, saying unto me, fear not. This booming voice, this vision of Christ, caused John to tremble. So much so that it was as if life went out of him and he fell at his feet as dead. And Jesus, with his hand upon John, says, John, don't be afraid. John, don't be frightened. John, there's no need to panic. There's no need to be distressed. John, just be calm. Fear not. That is, John, take courage. Be confident. And then, as we see all through the scriptures, when God says, fear not, he gives us a reason. And the reason is always in him, never in us. Fear not. And then he gives the reasons, and the reasons are introduced by those words, I am. I am. I am and have. Fear not, John, because I am. Fear not, John, because I have. Notice that everything there in the last part of verse 17, beginning with I am, through verse 18, other than the expression was dead, everything is in present tense. That is, right now. He says, I am the first and the last. John, do not be afraid, I'm everything. Then he goes on, and he says, I am he that liveth and was dead. That means that I have risen from the dead. And behold, John, take a good look. Behold, I am alive. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive. Two important words. Liveth and alive. Conveying the idea of John, I am breathing, I am functioning, and I am existing. But that's not all. He is not only living, he is not only alive, but living and alive, notice, forevermore. Forevermore. The word forever, of course, means always, without stop. But Jesus here doesn't just say, I am alive forever. He says more than that. He says, I am alive forevermore. That is, I am alive forever and more than forever. What that means is Jesus is greater than forever. I am alive forever and more. And being alive forever and beyond forever, I have the keys of hell and death. Keys represent ownership. Keys represent authority. Keys represent control. Jesus says, I own hell. I own death. I am in control. I have authority forever and more over death and hell. What Jesus is telling John is, I am king. I am Lord. And I live as king and Lord. And I am alive as king and Lord. And this is forever and more, beyond forever. Now consider what happened to John with regard to you and I that know the Lord. Listen as Christ says, I am he that liveth. Now again, we see John heard the voice as of a trumpet. I am Alpha and Omega. He turned to see, and there he was, Jesus Christ. He then fell at the feet of Christ as dead. Jesus put his hand upon John. And I believe now Jesus Christ is not speaking with the voice of a trumpet. But he speaks softly to John. John, I am he that liveth and was dead. I am alive forever and more. Can you hear Jesus speak those words? I am he that liveth. And I am alive forevermore. Folks, this is not some ideology.
I am he that liveth. I am alive forevermore. This is more than some notion and thought that passes through our minds. This is more than a philosophy. This is more than a theory. You can argue theory all day long. You can argue opinion all day long. But you can't argue reality. And people today want to look at Jesus Christ as an ideology, as an opinion, as a theory. And they want to argue. But to you and I today, he's more than an ideology. He's more than a theory. This is real. I am he that liveth and alive forevermore. I believe in the doctrine of Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ is alive. But this is more than just a belief. This is real. This is a reality. I am he that liveth. And I'm alive forevermore. I ask you today, is that real to you? Is that a fact today? Not just an ideology. Not just a creed that you give assent to. But is it real to you today? That Jesus Christ is alive. And he is alive forever. And more. Hear the one who said, I am the first, and I am the last. And hear him say, I am he that liveth, and I'm alive forevermore. Jesus Christ, who has absolute dominion. Jesus Christ, who has absolute superiority and authority. He's alive. This is not a theory. This is not simply a creed that we give assent to. This is real. He's alive. Jesus Christ, he's infinite. He is immeasurable. He is the creator. He is the architect and the sustainer of the universe. And he lives. And he is alive forevermore. He is the Lord of glory. He is God himself. He is the very image of God. He is the Lamb of God, and he liveth and he is alive forevermore. This is not just ideology. This is not just theory. You say, well, I don't necessarily believe what you are saying. That does not change the reality that Jesus Christ lives. That Jesus Christ is alive today. Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He is our advocate. He is the heir of all things. And he lives. And he is alive forevermore. I pray today that this is not just something that you give assent to. You may be sitting here today and you say, well, I agree with that. Jesus Christ went to the cross. Jesus Christ went to the grave. Jesus Christ came out of the grave. Jesus Christ ascended back into heaven. And he's in heaven today. And one day he's coming back. I agree with all of that. And that's good that you agree with all of that. But if that's not a reality in your life, all you have is an ideology. All you have is a creed. But this is a reality. This is a reality in our lives.
because a living and reigning Christ is merely an ideology to many. Because to many it's just a concept that they agree with. It's just their opinion. It's a creed that they stand in agreement with. Because that's all it is to many. Many of God's people, because of the fact that Christ is just an ideology, their lives are hollow. Their lives are without purpose. Their lives are without meaning. But when this is real, that changes everything. In the midst of all of life's difficulties, in the midst of all that is crumbling, there he stands, living and alive forevermore. Completely sufficient, absolutely dependable, absolutely able to do all things, and always present. There he is. Living and alive forevermore. My Savior. My Redeemer. My Deliverer. My Guide. My Helper. My Sustenance. My Caregiver, my Provider, my Rock, my Fortress, my Friend, my Defender. He's living and he is alive forevermore. And he whispers in our ear, I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. I was dead, but I am alive forever and more. What that means is, there is no more cross. There is no more cross to hang upon. Never again will Jesus Christ hang upon a cross. Never again will Jesus Christ lay down his life upon a cross. Never again will nails pierce his hands and feet. Never again will thorns pierce his brow. Never again will a spear pierce his side. Never, never again will he be wrapped in grave clothes. Never again will he be put in a tomb. No, he says, I am alive. And I am alive forever. And more than that, I am alive forever and more. This isn't just a story. This isn't just a story on a page of a book. This is real. This is not just a historical fact. This is real today. This is not just a doctrine or a point of theology. No, Jesus Christ is living and is alive forever and more. This is not just an ideology to you and I. This is real. He lives and he reigns for me.
This is a fact. This is a reality in my life. And when this is a reality in our life, it is not only a fact, it is not only a reality, it becomes a force. It becomes a force in our life. You can hold to an ideology. You can hold to a creed. But when something is real, it becomes a force in your life. It begins to shape your life. It begins to motivate the way you live. It fills us with strength. That's why Jesus said, John, fear not. It fills us with strength. It fills us with confidence. It fills us with assurance. It fills our hearts with peace. And it gives us a desire to be surrendered to Him, to be dedicated to Him. And it gives us a zeal to want to serve Him and to be all that we can for Him. Oh, I pray today that this is not just an ideology to you, but that this is a reality. A living Christ. Consider this in regards to the unsaved. We read in 1 Timothy 1 in verse 15 that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He didn't come into the world to help sinners save themselves. He came to save sinners. He did not come into the world to make men savable. He came into the world to save sinners. To save them from what? He came to save them from their sins. He came to save them from death that sin brings. He came to save them from guilt. He came to save them from the bondage and the pollution and the condemnation and the destruction that sin brings. He came to save sinners from the alienation and from the enmity that sin causes. He came to save sinners from the darkness. He came to save them from the bondage and the oppression that results from sin. He came to save sinners. He came with everything that the sinner needs. He came with the life that you need. He came with the light that you need. He came with the righteousness that you need. He came with the cleansing that you need. He came with the pardon and the reconciliation and the peace and the acceptance with God that every sinner needs. He is the one and only door. He is the one and only way to God. And hear Him say today, I am He that liveth, and I am alive forevermore. I came to save sinners, and I live. I came to save sinners, and I am alive forevermore. This is more than ideology. This is more than philosophy. This is more than an opinion. This is more than creed. Jesus Christ came to save sinners. He's living. He's alive forevermore. This is a fact. This is reality. And because that is so, there is good news for every unsaved sinner. Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners, lives. And because of that, today, you that are here without Jesus Christ, there is a message of hope for you. That hope is in Jesus Christ. It is nowhere else. There is a message of hope. Hope is not in politics today. Hope is not in programs today. Hope is in Jesus Christ. He came to save sinners. There is a message of life. There is a message of victory. for sinners today.
All because this Savior of sinners lives and is alive forevermore. That being said, I also remind you that because He lives and because He is alive forevermore, lost sinner, there is a dreadful day of judgment coming for all of those who leave this life without Him. This is a fact. This is a reality. Jesus Christ lives. He's alive forever and more. And one day, you will stand before Him. Well, I hope it's not so. It's so. One day, you will stand before Him. Notice in the book of John, chapter 5, verse 22. John 5, verse 22. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. And He lives, and He is alive forevermore. And He will judge. Notice Philippians chapter 2, and we'll close. Philippians chapter 2, we'll read verses 9 through verse 11. Wherefore God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, that is a name that is dragged through the mud today, that is a name that is used as a curse word upon the lips of many today. But that very one, Jesus, that very one that John saw, that very one who is a living right now and is alive forevermore, the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow. We read of this event in Revelation chapter 20. And we see they stand before a great white throne. And there is one that sits upon that throne. His name, Jesus. And they seek for a place to hide. They seek for a place to flee. There's nowhere to go. They will stand before that throne. And every tongue, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. And every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus Christ lives. That gives every lost sinner that's here right now, that gives you hope. That gives you hope. The very fact that Jesus Christ lives right now and that He is the Savior of sinners, that gives you hope. But if you leave this life without Christ, all hope is gone. Jesus isn't going away. You're going to stand before Him one day. You say, well, Brother Dan, that's just your opinion. You better hope that's all it is. But it's not. This is the Word of God.
This is real. This is real. Eternity is real. Your soul is real. This is not something to put off. This is not something to laugh at. This is not something to mock. You have a soul that is going to live eternally somewhere. Two places. Heaven and hell. We live in a day where people want to think that no one dies and goes to hell. That's an ideology. Reality is people die and go to hell every single day. If you're here without Christ, the best thing I can tell you today is that Christ Jesus came to save sinners. And you're a sinner. That means you qualify. He came to save sinners just like yourself. Do you know Him today? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Really, right now, nothing else matters. Nothing else matters. Nothing is this important. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Oh, I've had many, 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 many people say, I don't have time right now to talk about it. There's nothing more important. There's nothing more important. One day you will stand before Him. And messages like this, you will remember. But it'll be too late. I'm so thankful today that Christ Jesus lives. I'm so thankful that I can walk away from the grave of a loved one that knows the Lord and say, thank you, Jesus, for coming out of that grave. Thank you for the victory over death and the grave. You can have that victory today as we sing, Brother Larry.